Amen. Amen. It is good to open the Word of God with you as we have entered our second week of Advent. And just a reminder, the word Advent, it comes from the Latin word that means coming. And with Advent comes this anticipation of the coming King of Kings. And so this year we're kind of looking at Christmas from a little bit of a different standpoint, as a future event, kind of like the prophets of the Old Testament saw it. Last week was the week of hope, and we saw God speak hope into another one of his people's hopeless situations through the prophet Micah. Remember chapter 5, verse 1. "Gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek." And we saw, no matter how you look at this, this is heavy news for God's people. War would be all that these next generations would know. Fighting and exile would be normal. Remember, the warning was to get ready for battle, that they would not win. Their king would be taken captive. Their walls would be sieged. Their cities destroyed. Life as they knew it would be no more, because they would be taken captive into Babylon. And it was into this reality the hope of Christmas was planted. Remember verses 2 and following. "But you, O little obscure town of Bethlehem, would bring into this world a ruler, a different kind of ruler, one who is eternal, one who would shepherd his people, one who will abide with his people and bring an intimacy not experienced ever before." We saw 700 years before Christ was born, God made this promise that would forever change the world, the promise of the birth of Jesus Christ. And this promise brought hope. When hopelessness was all they could see, when they grew weary in the waiting, when the consequences of their sin brought so much pain, God's promise through Micah brought hope. They saw something that is still true today. Even though the present is painful for God's people, the future is always bright. It's still true today. The present may be painful, but the future is always bright. Because you and I, we still have the same hope because God's plentiful and rich promises. Looked at just a few of them. Promises of security, promises of his presence and his faithfulness, promises of having a refuge and an anchor to hold on to, promises of certainty, stability, acceptance in God's eyes, in his presence, and a promise of his return. So Advent is a reminder for us to live with hope and expectancy and confidence in these facts. In one of our Wednesday night studies a couple of months ago, Tony Evans said it like this: expectancy changes behavior. Expectancy changes behavior. You know, when you are expecting company, you just might tidy up the house a little bit more than if you weren't. If a student, an elementary student, has an opportunity for a reward, most of them will act accordingly. Expectancy affects behavior, and it should be the same way with us spiritually. Look at 1 John 3:2. "Beloved, now we are children of God." If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are children of God. "It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." God promised to send Jesus back to get his own. And one day we will see Jesus face to face. That should give us hope. But it should also stir in us a healthy fear to live like God has called us to live. Expectancy changes behavior. You know, many who are believers, children of God, they don't live in the hope and expectancy of his return. We forget that one day we will see him face to face, because we get so distracted with the things that do not fulfill, the things that leave us wanting. Would you want Jesus to return in the middle of one of your current habits? That's a question that I need to ask myself daily. Is it possible that God uses the present pain to get us to realize that? Maybe we're doing some things that we shouldn't be doing, to get us to live in hope and expectancy of a bright future. I got to consistently check my heart to see how God is using my present pain, whatever present pain I might find myself in, to teach me something. Today we've lit the peace candle, and peace is listed in Galatians chapter 5 as one of the fruit of the Spirit. And I just got to be honest this morning, it is my favorite fruit of the Spirit. That often makes me wonder why I drive a school bus, but I do. You know, I have known the Lord personally for almost 34 years. This week, it will be 34 years. When I stop and think of what my life would have been like had I never known Him, it is not pretty. Life with Jesus is more than I could ever ask or imagine. You know Him, you have similar stories. But if you know Him, you also know that this life of faith has many ups and many downs. Life brings all sorts of obstacles and challenges and seasons. There are many battles that we face. Sometimes they're internal. Sometimes nobody else knows the battles we're going through. Sometimes they're against temptation. We fight doubt and fear. We fight financial battles, health battles, work battles, relationship battles all along the way. We celebrate life and we mourn death and loss. This life is just a roller coaster with many ups and downs. And the truth is, the first blank on your outline, if you're keeping notes, peace is not natural. Peace is not natural. Ever since sin entered the world in Genesis 3, and we as humans chose to go against God's good design and follow our own, we have been in search of peace. The chaos and brokenness of this world do not foster it. We can be sure that it's not just here and now, but it was the same in Zephaniah's time. Zephaniah is our prophet for today's message. And so however you prefer, you can be turning Zephaniah chapter 3. Again, it's close to the end of the Old Testament. All of these minor prophets are right there. So as you get there, let me just kind of set some background. We know more about Zephaniah than any other minor prophet. His name means Jehovah hides. And we could best understand it as Jehovah protects. Zephaniah ministered under the kingship of Josiah, and Josiah's is an incredible story. Following two evil kings' reign, Manasseh and Amon, whose rule spanned for 57 years, Josiah became king at age 8. 8 years old. So just think about that for a minute. After following 57 years of going in the wrong direction and 57 years of going against God's will, now an 8-year-old is king. Now, we have known some 8-year-olds that think they are king, but this one really was. Josiah proves that God can use anyone for His purposes because Josiah is one of a handful of the kings that are actually described as doing right in the Lord's eyes. He was the last king, last good king before God's people were exiled into Babylonian captivity. Zephaniah was a big influence in Josiah's life. And this shift toward God was brought about when the high priest found the book of the law, Moses' writings, in the temple as they did some spring cleaning. In a storage, way back in the back of a storage closet. And they found the book of the law. And they brought it to the people. And revival broke out. But eventually, the same thing happened that can happen to us pretty easily, if we're not diligent to guard against it. The newness of the Word of God eventually just kind of took a back seat. Zephaniah 1:12 describes them as being settled in complacency. God's people were settled in complacency, meaning that they just kind of became indifferent to the things of God. They became content in being right where they were to a fault. And they began to believe that they didn't need any improvements. They didn't need any changes. Even if trouble was coming, even if they were living in a lifestyle of sin, they were okay. It didn't matter. They began to believe that it didn't matter to God either, and so that they could do whatever they wanted to do. They forgot that as God's children, one day they would see him face to face. And so just like the other prophets, Zephaniah prophesied judgment. He spoke extensively of the day of the Lord. That's a phrase used to describe a time when God says, enough is enough. I am not going to allow you to live in rebellion anymore. Now, we know that our God is slow to anger. And I am very thankful for that. But according to his word, there comes a time when he says, okay, listen, you asked for it. Now you're going to get it. Here comes my judgment. And that is the day of the Lord. And in just over 40 years, that judgment came true. Babylon invaded Judah, decimated their cities and lives. But just as God always does, though he told of upcoming judgment, in his grace, he also told of upcoming peace. If you're able to stand, please do. Out of respect for the word of God, as we read Zephaniah 3, 14 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather those who sorrow over this appointed assembly, who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. Behold, at that time I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you, for I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. Lord, we ask that you bless the reading of your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, do you hear the grace in these words? I mean, they really don't sound like the day of the Lord. See, as God always does, he told of upcoming judgment, but in his grace, he also told of upcoming peace. I count at least 12 different times that God's word says, I will, or he has, in just these few verses. 12 different times. And they're promises that still apply to us. He will save. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will quiet you with his love. He will deal with all who afflict you. He will bring you back. He has cast out your enemy. It's a picture of peace in the midst of judgment. See, in the midst of judgment and chaos, God speaks peace. Next blanks on your outline. God speaks peace. Peace in the midst of chaos. And maybe you walked in here this morning and it just feels like your life is in chaos. God speaks peace in the midst of chaos. See, we now know what the people on the other side of Christmas didn't know. Ultimately, how would God's plan here that he's laying out be achieved? Through the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, the true King of Israel. It is Jesus who will ultimately fulfill verse 17. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. As Zephaniah states it, the Lord your God is in your midst. Jesus is the mighty one who will save. Like a loving parent comforting an unsettled child. Jesus will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You know, many times an enemy will rejoice over someone they have defeated, but that's not how this is pictured. He's rejoicing over you with singing because he loves you. Jesus brings peace. Allow these truths to settle in your heart this Advent season. Prophet Isaiah spoke of this in a passage that we often hear this time of year. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. That word increase in verse 7, it speaks of abundance. There will be no end to the abundance of his peace. And in the Old Testament, peace translates as shalom. And the meaning is much deeper than just an absence of hostility like we might think of it. Shalom has been defined as completeness, soundness, well-being, harmony with people, and spiritually living under the favor of God. We see this kind of peace in the Christmas story. Luke 2, 8 and following. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Peace on earth. The angels left the halls of heaven to declare peace on earth. They understood the peace that Jesus had already established in heaven, and so they knew that his presence on earth would bring it here also. But one might argue, we don't have peace on earth. And it would be really difficult for us to refute that argument because, clearly, there is a lack of peace. So it doesn't take long to become keenly aware that there is a right now and a not yet of this Advent season. With all of these things that we're looking at, there's a right now and a not yet. What peace his birth bring that we can experience right now? The next few blanks on your outline. First, it's spiritual peace. Because of Jesus' birth, we can experience spiritual peace. See, the birth of Christ set into motion God's plan to save the world that was in stark contrast to his holiness. The two sides were completely at war, completely against each other. There is no greater divide than the one between our holy God and us as sinful people. Ephesians 2 describes us as dead in our sins, contrasted with the God who created life. We are children of disobedience, contrasted our God who is holy, holy, holy. We were controlled by the lusts of our flesh and desires. We deserved his wrath, but God, because he loved us and because of his grace, he made a way through Christ for us to have peace with him even today. Spiritual peace. As Peter spoke of this peace in Acts 10, as the gospel began to get rolling and started to take root. Acts 10, 36 and 43. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. See, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, that spiritual peace. And it's a peace that is found nowhere else. We can work and work and work to try to find it, but it's only found in the Prince of Peace. Find it here, no matter how chaotic your life feels. It starts with accepting his free gift of life. But that's not where this peace that we can experience now ends. We have peace in the battles. We have peace in the battles. See, Jesus' peace is for those times we just mentioned earlier, where peace does not naturally come. The ups and downs of life, in the many battles that we face, Jesus' peace is for those internal struggles that no one else knows about. When we stop trying to fight them on our own and instead use the weapons that he has given us, that's when peace comes. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Those battles against temptation, the next blank on your outline. Do you find yourself completely torn between staying the course and giving in? Listen, Jesus is able to settle our hearts and to bring us peace, knowing that we've listened and obeyed his voice. Psalm 34, 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Peace is for when we face doubts, the next blank on your outline. We've all been there. I've been there. Jesus gives us peace as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, as Philippians 2:12 talks about. And we come to the point where we choose to believe. Listen, we are going to trust what God's word says is true. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If I have done everything that his word says to be saved by putting my faith in Jesus Christ alone, then I am saved and I'm going to live my life accordingly. Ever have those doubts about your salvation? You've got to come to the word. Test them against the word. Jesus' peace is for when we find ourselves battling fear. You ever battle fear? When we trust that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He doesn't want us living scared all the time, but of power and love and a sound mind. Therefore, I will not live in this constant state of being afraid, but I will trust that God loves me and is there to walk with me through whatever he allows me to go through. In all the battles that we face against health, at work, relationships, because of Jesus and the peace on earth that was announced at his birth, you and I can have peace today in the midst of these situations that are nowhere close to being peaceful. What we find is he doesn't take away those situations. It allows us to walk through them differently. Right now, aspect of the peace of Jesus Christ. Spiritual peace with God, peace in the battles, and finally, peace with each other. With each other. When we trust Jesus, his Spirit comes and resides in us. Peace from the Prince of Peace is in us, and it causes us to have peace with each other. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. See, there's a difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Peacekeepers tend to let sin go unchecked. They just want to keep the peace. Peacekeepers say what somebody wants to hear just to keep the peace, even if they said something different to somebody else. But a peacemaker will always take the high road. A peacemaker will forgive and move on. Peacemakers will choose not to say things that shouldn't be said. And it's harder to be a peacemaker than it is to be a peacekeeper. And that's why we can't do it without the Prince of Peace. For right now, He offers us peace with God. He offers peace in the midst of whatever battle we're facing. He offers peace with each other. Peace is also to come. Not only do we anticipate this morning the birth of Jesus, but we also look forward to His second coming. Again, in 1 John, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." One of these days, we will look the Prince of Peace in the eyes. And we will finally understand what the angels announced that Christmas morning. Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Zephaniah told of a time when God would bring peace to His people. Experienced it this morning? You know Him? Have you made arrangements with God to be able to experience true peace one day? If your heart is in chaos right now, the only one that can cure that is Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Him, it's as simple as admitting that you are a sinner. Be willing to turn from your sins, turn to Jesus. Believe in your heart that Jesus is who He says He is, the one and only Son of God who can save you from your sins. Confess Him as Lord of your life. It's Advent season. Week of peace, you can experience true peace. Go into a time of reflection and invitation. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? Nothing new has been said. It's very possible that you've heard everything here this morning, but how has God said, made it fresh and new in your heart today? What has God said to you?